From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome to another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. This week, as we continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1, we'll be dealing with verse 23, which raises one of the most important, sometimes one of the most contentious subjects among professing Christians. And that has to do with the security of believers in Jesus Christ. As we'll see, there are two great extremes. There are some who deny that there is such a thing as eternal security for believers. There are others, and they carry their notion of eternal security in the opposite direction, holding that there's security really for just about every professor in Jesus Christ. And between those two extremes, there is the biblical doctrine of the true security of believers, or the perseverance of the saints guaranteed by their position in Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at that throughout the week, and I trust you'll stay with us, and that the Lord will make this a rich source of instruction and of blessing to your own heart. First, however, today we start off with our daily devotional Bible study. The subject, a difficult but delightful book. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, And the Lord called unto Moses. Many Christians at the beginning of each year resolve to read the Bible from beginning to end. When they get to the difficult book of Leviticus, many give up, and others quickly scan through the book or bypass it altogether, and it's to their own great loss. But you shouldn't be intimidated when you come to the book of Leviticus. Rather, study it carefully, and that for many reasons. Think of the significance of its writer. Moses was certainly not insignificant. He was the greatest of all Old Testament men, and he should be listened to. Think of the sovereignty of its author. Moses wrote, but God authored Leviticus. It has more of God's direct words than any other book in the Bible. Think of the shortness of its focus. Genesis covers about 2,500 years. Exodus covers about 360 years. But Leviticus covers about 30 days. The Lord directs our attention from wide angle to close-up views of these important truths covered in the book. Think of the system of its teaching. God speaks sometimes plainly and sometimes simply. At other times, He uses parables and at other times illustrations. In Leviticus, He often employs symbolic or typical teaching. The Old Testament shadows give depth to the clear New Testament revelation of Christ. Think also of Leviticus's solemnity of message. The key to Leviticus isn't hard to find. Look for the words holiness and atonement, and you'll see how sinful man can be made at one with the Holy God. Think of its statements on the blood. Leviticus is hated by modernists and liberals, mostly because of its emphasis on the blood sacrifice. The key verse of the book is 17 verse 11, It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And then as you think of Leviticus, think of the Savior that is presented. Jesus Christ is found on every page of Leviticus. Keep the above-mentioned things in mind as you start to read this book, and as you do so, pray before you read that God will reveal Christ in the book. Then Leviticus will not be drudgery, but a genuine delight. And our thought for the day comes from Martin Luther. As we go to the cradle only in order to find the baby, so we go to the Scriptures only to find Christ. Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get in our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
Prophetic call.
As I announced at the top of the broadcast, this week we're considering Colossians 1 verse 23 on the theme, Eternal Security. At first sight, the wording of the text seems to support the position of John Wesley that a Christian's security depends on his faithfulness. What I will seek to show, and this is undoubtedly Paul's meaning, is that the very opposite is true. That is, a Christian's faithfulness to God depends on his security, or to put it another way, his security guarantees that he will be faithful to the gospel. With that in mind, we now turn to Colossians chapter 1 to start with the reading of the context of today's text. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading again the passage commencing at verse 9, and we're reading through to the end of verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. Continuing our journey through Colossians chapter 1, I want us today to pay attention to a verse that I must confess I had not intended until a day or two ago to preach on at all. I can't preach on every syllable of this epistle, otherwise this would be a very, very long series of messages. I had intended moving on, but that I couldn't do. I think there is something here
to which we must pay the closest attention. I want us to look at verse 23. It starts with the word if. This is following on from a statement that God intends to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight if ye continue in the faith. Now the context of this is critical. Notice again the conjunction of thoughts. He has reconciled you to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable if ye continue in the faith. At first sight, this appears to establish what John Wesley said on this text. He presents you if ye continue in the faith, otherwise ye will lose all the blessing which ye have already begun to enjoy. In other words, according to Wesley, you may now be reconciled to God in the body of Christ through His death, but you will lose it all if you do not fulfill the condition that is here laid down. In other words, your security depends upon your faithfulness to God. Now that, according to John Wesley, is the meaning of the text. And as you look at it at first appearance, it seems to be the meaning of the text. And yet, it is not the meaning. In fact, as you look at the text a little more carefully, you will find that this is the very opposite to the meaning of the text. Far from teaching that your security depends upon your faithfulness, Paul is showing that your faithfulness depends on or is assured by the security you enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, the critical word in this text is the word if, and it's vital that we understand its force. I don't want to be technical this morning or to appear more learned than I am, but any student of the New Testament will know that there are various ways for expressing conditionality or uncertainty or supposition in the New Testament text. Let me put it very simply. There is a way to say if to show that the issue being considered is a matter of very real doubt. There is another way to say if to show that we are merely stating a condition without either assuming or doubting that that condition will be fulfilled. And then there is yet another way to say if, in order to show that we assume the supposition to be true, that we are throwing no doubt whatsoever upon the thing being supposed. In fact, rather, we're saying we take it that it is true and it's going to happen. And in these cases, this last case, the word if has the force of since, which is very close to because. Now, that's the way that Paul expresses it here. It's not obvious in translation, for if to us means if. Well, actually, that's not even true, because we speak English, it's a living language, we speak it, our ears are tuned to all the nuances of sentence build up of what's called syntax, so therefore when somebody says if, we know if they're expressing doubt, or if they're simply expressing condition, or if they're meaning since and assuming the thing that's following the if. We can pick all that up in English. We read it in the Bible. We don't pick it up because we don't see the construction that lies behind it in the Greek text. What lies behind the if here is a statement that Paul is saying, I assume, I'm taking it for granted, that you continue grounded and settled in the faith. I assume it. I take it for granted. In other words, you could read it like this. He's going to present you wholly unblameable, unreprovable, since you are continuing steadfast in the faith. That's how Paul expresses it. He's not casting the slightest doubt at all upon the believer's profession. He is not telling the believer that he may lose a reconciliation and a redemption that he now enjoys. As John Wesley said, rather he's saying to all who are redeemed, to all who have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, he's saying, you will continue in the faith of the gospel. And there's no doubt you will not be removed away from the hope of the gospel. What Paul is saying to those redeemed and reconciled to God is that a Christian's security in Christ assures his fidelity to Christ. Now that opens up a very large and vital area of study. There's a lot of talk, you know, about this thing called eternal security. Some people, like John Wesley, absolutely deny it. Your security is no stronger or longer than your current faithfulness to God, your current state of faithfulness. In fact, some Wesleyans would have gone, and some still go so far as to say, unless you have attained a place of perfect love or sinless perfection, if there's any deviation from an absolute standard of your own personal sinlessness, then you'll be damned. In fact, they would go so far at times as to say, you could walk in perfect holiness for 50 years, sin for a minute before you die, and go straight to hell. Your security, according to that view, depends upon your fidelity. Absolutely. Other people talk about eternal security and take it to mean that everybody who professes faith in Christ is eternally secure. We see this all around us in many professing Bible-believing churches. People walk the aisle when they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old. Now, I'm not casting doubt upon a person's conversion because it happened when they were young. I believe that God teaches that he converts children, so I'm not about to deny it. But there are many who have walked an aisle, or at least they have been told they walked an aisle, for they remember nothing about it. They have been told they prayed a prayer. They remember nothing about that either. So they must be saved. They have lived in sin for years. They have no interest in God or his word or his cause. There's no exercise now of a living faith in Christ. They're certainly not living for the hope of the gospel. But they're assured you're eternally secure. You may not have Christ as your Lord, but you have Christ as your Savior. This is a perversion of eternal security that is every bit as pernicious as the Wesleyan denial. I want you to see something very clearly here. Paul takes it for granted that the redeemed and the reconciled believe the gospel. They're settled and grounded. They hold on to their hope. He takes that for granted. They continue. I've often said that faith is always in the present tense. Faith once begun continues. And that's what Paul is saying here. So it is totally unfounded to say that a person who has no current faith in Christ was ever saved. There is no ground for saying that a person who has no current attachment to Christ, interest in Christ, fidelity to Christ or his gospel ever was reconciled to God. Because what the text is saying is that the eternal security of believers guarantees their perseverance in grace and is expressed by that perseverance.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.